Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, we took this week off, but we're going to share one of our classic episodes. Enjoy. Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real
2.
My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, via Zoom, is...
is the Matthew Mandalorian hostility... Zone.
That's an interesting name.
It is.
Is that German?
Part of it is.
Okay.
The hostility part? Well, the host part is German, and the tility is for, like, utility, so, you know.
I was also wondering if it was maybe, you know, like, a name that they use in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah. Oh, Mandalorian part is, yeah.
You know, oh, okay. Haas,
you know, Haas actually means in German or Bavarian, I'm not sure which dialect, it means rabbit, a hare, basically. So Haas basically means, you know, hare. Like in English, H-A-R-E, not H-A-R-E. IR, so.
But hares have hair.
Yeah, well, they do, yeah.
Well, it's called fur. But,
fur, yeah. So, anyway, that's what my last name means. Is basically, well, a hare is not a rabbit necessarily, isn't it? It's a little bit bigger than a rabbit, but,
maybe.
Okay, I don't know, whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know why. Maybe it's because. You know, maybe my family's name was known as being promiscuous, so they just, you know, like I say, you know, they mated like rabbits, so maybe that was why we were called Haas, or maybe it's because we had, like, a rabbit, little rabbit farm, maybe, where we had rabbits and stuff like that. I don't know.
And welcome to All Two Woodland Creatures. And, today on the episode, we are actually covering... which you probably know if you read the description, the direct-to-video movie Adam's Family Reunion, which is sort of a sequel to the movies The Adam's Family and Adam's Family Values, but it was kind of a soft reboot as well. It was produced by a different company, had like. Two actors from the other movies actually appear in it. The actor who played Lurch and the actor who played Thing. The Hand.
Wait, I thought Lurch was played by Christopher Lloyd in the...
No, that was Uncle Fester.
Oh, sorry, Fester, yeah.
Yeah. Lurch is the big tall dude.
Oh, yeah, that's right, okay.
Yes. So, this movie came out direct-to-video in 1998, also appeared on the Family Channel.
Really?
Yes. It was produced by Saban Entertainment, the creators of the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, among other things. And it was directed by Dave Payne, who has directed
stuff
like Fred the Show. He's a director of that. Yeah, sorry. Showgirl Murders, Criminal Hearts, Alien Terminator.
Whoa.
Reeker, the TV show Super Ninjas. And I was not saying that in a weird way. It's actually Super Ninjas. S-U-P-A-H. Super Ninjas. I'm not sure what that was. And the TV series The Archers. Not Archer, but The Archers. Just making sure that that's clear.
The Archers.
Yes. And so we... the film was also... It was produced by Mike Elliott, who directed American Pie Girls Rules.
Interesting.
Yes.
We just reviewed that last week or whatever.
Yes, a couple weeks ago or so. Yes, or whenever this airs.
Yeah.
Sometime in the past.
Yeah, like October or something, so.
Yeah. So, yes, the it was written by Rob Kirshner and Scott Sandin. Anyways, the movie stars an all-star cast that includes Daryl Hannah as Morticia.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Curry as Gomez.
Yeah.
We also have Alice Ghostly as Granny. Estelle Harris as Grandma Adams. You may know her as Mrs. Potato Head in the Toy Story movies. And as George's mom on Seinfeld. Grandpa Adams was played by character actor Kevin McCarthy, who's been in a million things. We have award-winning actor Ray Walston as Walter Adams with 1D. Philip Adams was played by Ed Begley Jr. So, yeah.
Yeah,
actually not a bad cast.
Yeah, a surprising amount of like well-established actors, you know, for this movie.
Yes.
Cuz yeah, this was during a time where Tim Curry was kind of making a comeback. I mean, he never really stopped acting, but I mean like there was a period in the 90s where Tim Curry was in like almost every movie you could see, like Congo, like I mean it was like
yeah.
You know, like, he was in, like, so many movies in, like, the mid-90s, like, for, like, 95 to, like, 98. Like, so, you know, that must have cost him a pretty penny to cast him. And he had Daryl Hannah, of course, you know, from Splash fame and, you know, a bunch of other movies I can't think of right now. But she was a big star in the 80s. And
then she became bigger when she appeared in the Kill Bill movies, like, shortly after this.
That's right. Yeah, she was in Kill Bill. She was the one with the eye patch. I forgot her name.
Me too. I haven't seen that movie in years. So
Cobra, I think it was Cobra, something like that. I don't know. no, it was Black Mamba. I think it's whatever. And you know, Ed Begley Jr. I mean, he's obviously from like the Mighty Wind fame and all the Christopher Guest films from like the, you know, 90s, like Waiting for Guffman. I'm not sure. Was he in Waiting for Guffman or not?
Yes.
He was okay. And then he was in Best in Show, I think,
and he was known primarily before that for being in St. Elsewhere years ago.
Right.
The TV series. And he also is the son of Ed Begley Sr., who was a famous character actor. So, oh, okay. Yeah.
And also he plays Mr. Futterman in Future Man, season one. I don't think he's in seasons two or three at all, but.
And he's also in Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's Sitwell. Anyways, So a good cast here.
Yeah.
And so what happens in this movie here, Matt?
Oh boy, where to begin? Well, it starts off with a excruciating, is that how you say that word? Excruciatingly long scene that goes on for about 5 minutes of a mail carrier trying to put the mail in their mailbox. And the scene just goes, I mean, this is the first 5 minutes of the movie. I mean, most movies, you know, first 5 minutes, you start to get into the plot. Nope. Just the mail carrier trying to get the mail in there and having to go through all the contraptions that the family set. I freaking thought they murdered him, to be honest. I'm like, oh my God, this movie just literally started out with a murder. They just killed the mail carrier. I was like, I don't remember Anne's family being evil. Like, I remember them just being dark and macabre and stuff like that, but I didn't know they killed people.
I mean, when I saw that, I thought that, you know, Donald Trump was behind it.
Right.
Because he doesn't like the mail. Anyways,
yeah, that's right. So, yeah, this mail carrier, he finally, you know, he gives him the mail, and then, like, this, like, plant with, like, tentacles drags him off, and that's, I thought, presumably, they killed him. And then that's, like, starts off with, you know, Gomez is, like, going through the mail, and he's like, well, this is trash, this is junk mail, blah, blah, blah. And then he gets, like, a package that's supposed to be, like, a book of genealogy of, like, the entire Adams family going back, like, 500 years or something like that. And then so he's like really excited about like learning more about, you know, the family history and stuff, because like he was saying, like, again, I don't remember the first two movies that much, but like he was like saying weird things about like how like his family is like superior to other people. I mean, I just don't remember that kind of like weird arrogant attitude, but whatever.
Like I said, this is kind of a soft reboot too. Okay. So it might be, you know, like it's a new take on the characters. So it's kind of like it's not directly a sequel per se, written by different people and everything. So,
okay. Yeah. Cause the way I took the Addams Family before was like the whole theme of the show was like, oh, this family's like kind of weird and stuff. But then like, it was kind of like meant to like be accepting of like, well, you know, that family's weird, but they're kind of, but this movie, it's like, no, we're the superior ones to them. I'm like, that's kind of weird. But anyway, so he gets the idea to like, I think Fester's the one that gives him the idea of like, why don't you actually like, oh yeah, cause they got another letter in the mail that was like offering a service, like a genealogy service for some company. And like, they only wanted $5,000 in 1998 money. Or 97 when the movie was actually probably directed, but or filmed. So he writes a check of $5,000. I'm not sure where they get their money from, but he writes a check of $5,000, sends it in, and then this company's like just really completely swamped and stuff like that. Like they cut to some scene where it's like, you know, supposed to be comedic. They got all these papers and the guy keeps like scouring the same paper over and over again, like he's trying to find something. And it's like really weird because it's like, okay, dude, I already saw you look at that exact location. Like, if you're going to try to act like you're looking for something, like you actually have to like do other things. You can't just be like, oh, I'm going to keep looking at, okay. No, you're stupid. So they did that like obligatory bedlam scene. By the way, there's lots of bedlam scenes in this entire movie, just kind of a little bit overkill, but maybe we'll get to that later. But anyway, so he sends him the money, then they send the invitation back to a family reunion called the Addams Family. oh, okay, nothing could go wrong here. So Lurch is driving the car. Well, no, sorry, I skipped ahead. So, like, Gomez's parents come to visit the mansion or whatever, and they're, like, acting, quote, normal. Like the dad's like, did you see the score of, or did you find out the score of the baseball game or whatever it was? And they're all, like, at the table, like what? Like, that's, you know, just, like, shocked look on their face. And then they keep, like, acting more and more normal. So, like, Gomez, like, found, like, a book of, like, ancient ailments and remedies, I don't know, or something like that. And there was a disease called Malzheimer's or something like that.
Waltzheimer's.
Walt. I don't get it, but is
there I don't either.
Okay,
Walter Adams is the name of the grandfather, so I don't know.
Oh,
or no, Walter Adams is the name of, so I guess it has nothing to do with it. That's actually the name of the Ray Walston character. Never mind. So
okay, well, no problem. So anyway, they're like acting normal and stuff, and like just like a regular old couple, like in retirement or whatever. And then so he's thinking like that's actually like a deterioration, you know, of their minds and mental states, because they're not like talking about weird stuff like, you know, like Morticia, and like, oh, I can't wait till we grow old together and have like incurable halitosis, and you know, we're gonna like, you know, like writhe on our deathbeds, you know, and just stupid, you know, like macabre stuff that they do, you know. But the grandparents are, you know, they're not talking like that anymore. They're doing normal stuff, and that's supposed to be like the disease. So like, he's like, in Gomez's words, they want to find a quote witch doctor to like cure. This movie's hard to talk about.
but it's the Citizen Kane of Adam's Family Reunion movies.
Yeah. Well, it's the only Adam's Family Reunion movie, so. So, yeah.
Yep, it is.
And then what else happens? Lurch takes them. I think we get the first hint of what's going to happen in the car, because Gomez makes a remark about how they misspelled their name, Adams, with just one D.
Yeah.
So it's like, what's going to happen? Family reunion, you know.
And I bet you hilarity ensues, right?
Oh, I'm sure of it. Let me guess. They go to the family reunion. It turns out that it's a mix-up, and it's the wrong family. So we got like a weird, like, what's that movie called? Like the Parent Trap, that was on purpose. But
yeah.
Whatever, some movie like that where they just mix up. And then also the other Adams family, they get sent to the address to go to the, like the manor or mansion or whatever
somehow,
you know. So then Grandma Adams is like tormenting them the whole time, because like they, it was like raining and they got their car stuck or whatever.
Yeah. Granny.
Yeah,
because Grandma Adams and Granny are two different characters.
Oh, sorry, Grandma. Okay.
Yeah. Just got to get this right, you know.
Yeah, I got to get this right.
Because the Adams Family purists are going to be upset.
Yeah. Anyway, you can take it from there and say, you know, talk about more, because
okay,
it's so, always bad to talk about.
So basically they get there and, like you said, Philip's brother, Philip is the character played by they go to this thing, they meet Dr. Philip Adams, who is played by Ed Begley Jr. He has this plan to poison his father, Walter Adams, played by Ray Walston, and then rewrite the will, so you know he gets more money and shit like that.
Yeah.
And Gomez is mainly there because he finds out that, you know, Dr. Adams is there, and he's like thinking, oh, we've got a psychiatrist in the family, so maybe he can cure Grandma and Grandpa Adams from their Alzheimer's. Okay, like you said, Philip's brother and his wife end up at the Adams family house, And they have, like, you know, a lot of crazy crap with Granny and Cousin It, who are staying there. Okay, while at the family reunion, okay, Pugsley, the son of the Addams family, sees this girl who is a young girl with glasses, who named Gina Addams, actually played by Haley Duff, the Hillary Duff's older sister.
Oh.
Which is just random. So he basically falls in love with her at first sight. And I just want to point this out. They think they're at a family reunion.
Yeah.
He falls in love with his cousin.
I observed that too. Because at this point, they didn't figure it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he could have just been also like you meet someone from your family for the first time that, you know, that you could actually relate to. So it could have been, you know, something like that too, you know, like.
Yeah. But the way they play it off in the movie is like, he's, you know, it's the whole, yeah. It's the whole puppy, puppy love at first sight sort of thing.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's just still weird to me. Okay. Wednesday Addams, the daughter of the family, you know, she starts to antagonize these two snobby cousins that they're kind of forced to play with, who are the children of Ed Begley Jr.'s character. Lurch, saves their mother, or not their mother, actually Gina's mother, the sister of Philip. From drowning in a swimming pool. He basically falls in love with her. I don't think Lurch is an Adam. So I think it's okay for him to fall in love with her.
He's not an Adam? I don't understand.
He's basically their butler.
Oh, okay.
So I don't think he's actually related to them.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know, though. I don't know enough about the Addams family lore to know if Lurch is an Adam. Or an Adams. So we find out that Walter Adams, that's Ray Walston's character and the, like, patriarch of the family, he hates his son and most of the family. And throughout the thing, he, like, basically ends up really loving Gomez and the clan.
Yeah.
Gomez is still hoping that Philip will help them. And they agree to a bet of some sort. He bets Gomez in a game. He'll earn $1,000. If Gomez wins, Philip will offer his services to him. Philip is overconfident, as he is a champion in many games, but Gomez easily defeats him. And it's a game of in a successive challenges of games of darts, table tennis, and regular tennis.
It was actually $10,000.
thousands of dollars. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm kind of reading reading through a synopsis of the movie because I watched this like 2 weeks ago, and
I watched it last night, so it's like totally fresh. Yeah. In my mind, unfortunately. Because the dart scene was ridiculous. Of course, it was the whole sped up late 90s, you know, effect that these movies would have, you know.
Oh, you mean these weren't top-notch special effects?
No. All of these movies in the, like, the I'd say from like starting from like 94, 95, well into like late 98, they always have like this stupid upbeat orchestral music that's like all like jumpy and like supposed to be playful, but it's usually just shitty music. I hate it, but whatever. And then like the person spins around really fast, but you can tell that they actually just sped the scene up, and then he's throwing darts with the blindfold on, and he's not enough that he threw every single dart at the bullseye. Then he started throwing knives at the thing. Then he threw another knife to hit the handle of the previous knife that got the bullseye, just to prove how good he is.
Back to the Addams Family Reunion, the greatest movie ever made, called Addams Family Reunion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No other film called Addams Family Reunion, you know, can hold a candle to this movie called Addams Family Reunion.
Yes.
So.
Not even Thing could hold a candle.
Mm-mm.
In his hand, which is his body.
Yeah.
Is Thing an Addams? I'm confused.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I don't really know much of the lore.
Or is he just a thing? Because
he might just be an experiment that Fester, because Fester was always doing experiments. Yes. All the time. Oh, yeah.
Which brings us to. There's a dog in this movie. Fester was doing an experiment on a dog as a gift to Pugsley. The dog eats hair. Human hair.
Yeah.
And
for some reason.
And he turns into a monster in the greatest CGI I have ever seen in a movie called The Addams Family Reunion.
Yeah.
Yep. It is on par with the CGI in Avengers Endgame. If it was in a movie called The Addams Family Reunion.
Can you imagine how Avengers Endgame or even Infinity War would look with the graphics of this movie?
Just imagine like Thanos looking like
God. It's like purple paint just like dripping off, like Rudy Giuliani's hair just like dripping down his cheeks. I am inevitable. Just start sweating paint.
I am it would do
ah,
like,
to my eyes. Oh. Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole scene would take place in front of a landscaping company. Anyways, yep. It'd be the end game landscaping. Anyways, back to the Addams Family Reunion. Fester and Thing are trying to catch this dog as well. The dog's name is Butcher. And again, I'm going to repeat that it feeds on human hair.
For some reason.
Yes.
Don't know why, but it does. And like the dog's actually like really cute in like its regular form, like a small type. I don't know what kind of breed, but it's like a small dog.
Yeah. It's like a lap dog. And yeah. Okay, anyways. Like I said, you know, Philip is humiliated by the games that they play. Anyways, instead of offering his services as they previously agreed to, Philip attacks Gomez in public. They have a knife fight, which of course Gomez eventually wins, after doing, like, I don't know, 5,000 backflips at some point.
Well, that's the other thing. Not just this scene, like all the other scenes, he's doing backflips like throughout the whole movie. It's, yeah.
And something tells me it wasn't Tim Curry doing those backflips.
It's possible, but it's very doubtful. Plus the speed, they're doing the whole speed up thing. I swear to God, if I had like the patience, which I don't, but if I did, I could just download. By the way, this movie was so bad that it was on free for YouTube on YouTube.
Yeah, this movie has never been released on DVD.
Right, but this movie was free on YouTube. I need to clarify: YouTube itself did not upload this movie. It was a user on YouTube uploaded it, and YouTube didn't even see fit to like delete it for copyright infringement. It's like, okay,
well, I mean, the thing is I don't think Saban Entertainment cares, so they've never complained about it being up there. So, okay,
it was a VHS copy too that was uploaded.
Yeah, so. because like I said, it's never been released on DVD or Blu-ray, and I'm waiting for that Blu-ray special edition of it myself.
With commentary and everything.
Yes.
A documentary about how the film was made, you know.
It'd be great, you know, the whole commentary just by Thing, who doesn't talk. Anyways, Thing and Cousin It do the audio commentary.
Yeah, but if I had the patience to, because I got sidetracked a little bit, if I had the patience and just cut the scenes, or just only use the scenes of him doing backflips, it would probably be like 6 minutes of the movie of just doing backflips. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, I want to release a movie just called Backflips the Movie.
That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just people doing backflips. It's like an Andy Warhol type experiment.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when he released a movie one time that was just like hours and hours of a building.
Oh, I've heard of that one, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was another one, I think it was called Bottoms. And all it was people's butts.
Okay. Wow.
So Backflips will be the sequel to Bottoms. Anyways, there may or may not be, like, you know, naked people doing backflips, clothed people, people that can't do backflips trying to do backflips.
Yeah.
Like me. I can't do a backflip.
I think most people can't, but...
Yeah, Gomez can.
Yeah, no, Gomez can do anything. I mean, he's a master at playing darts, table tennis, real tennis, backflips.
Well, that's because the Addams Family is superior to every other family.
Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense. And maybe he was right, you know, that they just are, you know.
Hitler was wrong. The master race is actually the Addams Family.
Yep.
I want to emphasize the fact that Hitler was wrong anyways. I mean, yeah, I just don't want people thinking that I thought he was right. Okay, anyways.
Well, nowadays you have to clarify that because...
Yeah, I'm just making sure. Yeah. I don't want that taken out of context.
Yeah. You know, the Nazis are back, so you know.
Yeah. Guess who's back? The Nazis are back. Okay, anyways. So there's a knife fight with the backflips. Gomez and Morticia get arrested for attempted murder then.
Right. Philip attacked Gomez, though.
Yeah. But then... For some odd reason, Pugsley and Wednesday are arrested for digging open the grave of the resort's founders.
But they also buried Lurch there, too.
Yeah.
Because he was sleepwalking and they wanted him to go back to sleep or something?
Yeah. So.
Wow. God.
So, anyways. Then Uncle Fester is declared insane and becomes a mental patient who's of course put in the care of Dr. Adams for some reason. And then Butcher and Thing are captured by a sadistic dog catcher. And at the time, Lurch has been buried alive by Wednesday and is unable to escape. I want to emphasize the fact. Point out the fact that the dog catcher is played by Clint Howard.
That's right.
Yes. If you're listening to this, Clint Howard, I would love to have you on our show because I really want to talk to you, and I'm being all serious about that because he's actually one of my favorite character actors. Anyways, so after this happens, the kids, Pugsley and Wednesday, they're taken by child services and placed in foster care. Somehow, with Philip's wife. Because there's no other family in the world besides the ones that are in this movie.
True. Well, they always go for family first, and then they thought that they were family. By the way, Philip's wife is, like, weird. Like, she makes this comment, like, 3 or 4 times throughout the whole movie. I want these kids to have a better childhood than the one I had. Like, that's kind of interesting right there. Like, there should have been some, like, the fact that her husband's a psychiatrist.
That's what I was going to say. She's married to a psychiatrist. Yeah, that's kind of.
So, maybe that's why she married one, because she wanted to, like, sort out her terrible childhood, I guess, or whatever. Because she's like, you better play with each other and have fun, because I couldn't do that as a child. I'm like, okay, that's sad. Like,
and she gets free therapy that way.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And also, too, I got to make a point about the bedlam, though, going on during a knife fight.
Yeah.
So, also, every 90s movie that was like this, that had a bedlam scene in it, which pretty much every movie of that genre had a scene like that, usually in, like, a mess hall or, like, a restaurant or whatever, anywhere where people are dining with tables. And there's always a scene during that, or there's always a part during that scene where a person is running around and they look directly into the camera and they say, call the police. And it's like, who are you talking to? Like, are you acknowledging that you're in a movie? Like, is this self-consciousness as a character that you're actually a character in the movie? Because who are you addressing that to? I always hated that.
But it reminds me of that scene in Back to the Future 2, which I love. But that scene where the guy kind of turns to the camera and he says, I think he stole his wallet.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But it's, that's like, a much better movie.
The camera before. Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, of course.
Well, it's kind of the...
Is better.
It's kind of the... it's kind of the whole, like, breaking the fourth wall thing. But not really breaking the fourth wall. Like, it's not like in Ferris Bueller or Saved by the Bell where the character actually is breaking the fourth wall and doing that on purpose. This is kind of like somebody just looked at the camera for some reason.
Yeah. So she does that, and then she says, call the fire department, the second time she runs into the middle and looks at the camera. Whatever. I just wanted to point that out because I thought that was funny.
Indeed. It was the funniest part of the whole movie.
Yeah, it was. I hated it, but it was funny. Also, too, I wanted to point out that Butcher ate the Phillips sister's hair when she was trying to comb her hair or whatever.
Yeah.
After Lurch did the CPR or whatever, or just the mouth part of CPR, he didn't even do, like, the chest compressions, just the mouth part. And
he basically made out with her.
Basically. So she's, like, combing her hair, like, disgusted, like, about that. And then the dog showed up in her bedroom, I guess, and then ate her hair. And then, so, yeah. I need to point out all the things, all the details of this movie, Mike, so I can't let anything go. So, you know.
Okay.
It could be our longest episode at, like, 2.5 hours running.
I gotta go. No. I'll just leave you here to explain it.
It's always the shittiest movies that get like if you go through like our catalog, I can guarantee you like American Pie Bandcamp is probably like an hour long. Like all the movies that have like nothing going on in the movie itself, somehow we talk about that more than the movies that actually have more action going on. Like
so anyways. So, like I said before, Walter Adams likes Gomez. He ends up posting bail for him and Morticia while they're in jail. Mm-hmm. He also helps them rescue Lurch, who then helps rescue the rest of the family.
Yep.
Yeah. We encounter Wednesday and Pugsley as they are torturing their foster family.
Literally.
Yes. But that's fine.
Hey, that kid was a jerk. By the way, is that kid... he looks very familiar as playing Freddy in School of Rock. I'm not sure if it's him, but he sounds a lot like him and he acts a lot like him. Like a very bratty, kind of arrogant type of child.
What was his character in this movie?
His name? I don't know his name. He was the son of the family that they're I don't know his name, but just the arrogant kid. I don't know his name. The one that they tied up during the pinata scene. That's right. There was a pinata scene. I can't talk tonight. You know what I'm talking about.
Pinata. Yeah.
And he was being a jerk to them, so they tied him up and they made him the pinata. So that was cool. And
yeah, I'll have to look that up during one of our breaks to find out if he was in School of Rock. Then in this glorious film, they're tying him up. So basically, Pugsley and Wednesday are reunited with their family.
Yay!
Yeah. Then the Adams family strap Philip into his own electric chair and allow his patients to torture him.
Yep.
I'm going to repeat that. They allow his patients to torture him. I mean, I know he's the villain of the piece. But where are the other, like, people in this building that could protect this guy?
I don't know. Maybe he sent everyone else home because he knew he was going to break the law by trying to kill Uncle Fester. Because that was supposed to be, I guess, I imagine, to be an electroshock therapy machine.
Yeah.
I don't know. It looked pretty old school for that to really be an accurate, depiction of what that would be, but whatever. So Fester, of course, likes it. He, you know, it's like tingling or whatever. It's like tickles him. He wants more, you know, because he's used to, I guess, shocking himself with like millions of volts of electricity, but
aren't we all? Whatever.
Yeah, I guess.
I do that every morning to wake myself up.
Well, that's good.
But then again, I work third shift, so I don't know why I'm doing that in the morning.
Yeah, it's probably a bad thing to do it in the morning. But because then you can't sleep. So
yeah. I haven't slept in 10 years because I electrocute myself every day just to get myself more energy. Get so much done during the... I don't. Anyways, yeah. What happens next?
Who knows?
Okay, anyways, eventually the family returns to their mansion. And they end up leaving the grandparents, who are now completely normal, in the care of Philip's wife. I don't get this. Anyways,
that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah,
because they're eating dinner or something like that, and what the hell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then... Well, weren't they at dinner with them though, as well? Like they had dinner together.
Yeah. No. I don't think the Addams family was there. It was just the. The grandparents. Anyways, according to this, Wednesday then amuses herself with lighting fireworks, while Pugsley seems melancholy. And Gomez asks him if he misses Gina, but Pugsley is instead sad because he forgot his Siberian firecracker back in the Foster family's house. Oh. At this point, the firecracker is revealed to have been a nuclear weapon. And the Addams family, you know, basically witnesses something in the distance that looks like, you know, Nagasaki or something. And
so a Siberian, so I'm guessing a, like a Soviet Union warhead or something. So, like
probably.
That.
Yeah. So they're witnessing this, you know, Hiroshima or Nagasaki in the distance. And that was caused by it.
So then the
funniest line in the whole movie is Morticia comments that a nuclear winter is swiftly approaching.
Yep, which is not so funny anymore because yeah.
And then they kiss, Gomez and Morticia, and our story finally ends, Matt. It ends. There's an end to this fucking movie.
This fucking piece of shit. No, it doesn't end, though. You're wrong. Because then we're now exposed to the worst rendition ever of the Addams Family theme song as the credits roll.
Oh, yeah. So. The really bad 90s hip-hop version of the song.
Like, wannabe Bobby... What's his name?
Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah, like a really bad version.
It's like a jazz, hip-hop fusion in a bad way, not in a good way.
It doesn't make any sense either because of the fact that, like it doesn't, like with the whole vibe of the whole movie, like, it just, like I can understand if they were, like, trying to, like, if you know what I mean? Like, it was just, like, it was, like, for one thing, like, every single of the characters was white. I don't think there is even a single... black person in this movie
but in defense, one of the theatrical movies, I don't know if it was the first or the second, MC Hammer did the Addams Family song for the
so maybe they were trying to, like,
but it wasn't like the theme song, but it was kind of, but it was a really good song, actually.
Okay,
it was
so they probably tried to, like, hire, like, some shitty, you know, like, band to, like, no offense, but because I'm a wannabe musician, so whatever, I shouldn't be trashing other musicians, but
yeah, I mean, but honestly, look up the MC Hammer Addams Family song. I can't remember what it's called, but it's brilliant. I actually like it. Anyways, the Addams Family. Anyways, it's really good. I can't remember what it's exactly called in.
Cool.
I'm too lazy to look it up. Anyways,
it's probably better than Vanilla Ice's, you know, ninja rap from.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know. That is the greatest ninja rap song ever.
Yeah, Vanilla Ice, man.
But anyways,
there should be another one called Chocolate. What's the opposite of ice water?
Chocolate fire. No.
Chocolate fire. that sounds like almost like a jazz fusion album from, like, Chick Corea or something like that.
Yes.
Scientology sucks. Sorry. He's a Scientologist.
Oh, was he? Oh, okay. I was like, that was a random aside.
Dude, he actually wrote, like, these weird jazz fusion albums.
Yeah.
Specifically for L. Ron Hubbard. Like, I don't even think he even released those. Like, he just he recorded those like records like specifically for him to listen to, like his ears only. Like at Wilds, like you're a musician and like you're literally just like recording material for like one person. Like, you're not selling them to like, you know, the mass audience or whatever.
Well, it's like that. It's like that Wu-Tang album that douchebag bought.
I was just thinking that. Yeah, it's exactly like that. Yeah, it's like my personal album for my favorite musicians. Like, God, that's so arrogant.
Yeah. Anyways, here's some trivia about this glorious film. I don't know how many times I'm going to call this a glorious film. Christopher Lloyd and Angelica Houston turned down the offers to reprise their roles of Uncle Fester and Morticia Adams. Mm-hmm. Probably a good idea. Carol Struycken, who played Lurch, and Christopher Hart, who played Thing, are the only cast members to appear in all three Addams Family movies. John Astin, the original Gomez from the 60s TV series, was offered the role of Grandpa Adams. Eventually, he did play Grandpa Adams in two episodes of The New Addams Family, which was kind of the continuation of this movie as a TV series on the Family Channel. Nicole Fugere, who played Wednesday Adams, appeared again as Wednesday Adams in The New Addams Family, which came out in 1998, which was the TV series. Barry Sonnenfeld, who directed the first two Addams Family movies, was unable to return due to scheduling conflicts with Men in Black. A much better movie. it doesn't say that. I'm just adding that. Robert Kirshner, one of the screenwriters, had previous experience in writing direct-to-video sequels. He had scripted sequels for various film series, including Blood Fist, The Unborn, Caged Heat, Carnosaur, and Casper. Saban Entertainment had purchased the home video production rights to the Addams Family brand in order to take advantage of the direct-to-video market. They produced this film to serve as a pilot for their planned television series, The New Addams Family. Even though they recast, like, everybody but Wednesday. The basic idea of the film has the eccentric Addams Family interacting with the normal Addams Family, with the 1D. The main twist is that the Addams Family with 1D are depicted as far more devious, conniving, and evil than the Addams Family.
Right.
Saban Entertainment intended this film to be primarily aimed at an audience of children instead of attracting an adult audience. I don't even think this is smart enough for children. Ed Begley Jr., who is a dedicated environmentalist, refused to wear any animal-based clothing, such as leather. This caused problems for the film's costuming department. I don't know why that would cause problems, because there are plenty of clothes not made out of leather.
Yeah.
So, according to director Dave Payne, he felt that Gomez should be played weird. He rejected the Latin Lothario characterization associated with Raul Julia's version of the character. Ed Begley Jr. plays Dr. Philip Adams, the film's main antagonist. He had difficulty playing a character depicted as an old tennis pro, as he had no idea how to play tennis. The director had to disguise Begley's inability to play the sport. The film has been released on VHS and Laserdisc, but reportedly has never been released on DVD.
Laser disc, wow.
Yeah. Dave Payne, the director, was unhappy with the film's theme song, which we were as well. He had initially arranged a dark and edgy version of the theme song to be used in the opening sequence, but Saban replaced it with a doo-wop. Yeah, it was kind of a doo-wop hip-hop rendition.
Yeah.
By the group Straight Vocals, which is spelled StrateVocalz.
Well, you know what?
Yeah, go ahead.
I would love to cross the Bering Strait to get away from that song, so.
And their vocals.
Yes. No offense. Sorry.
Yeah. Payne described the group as some boy band in bright fluorescent colored shirts, which he felt was wrong for the film. So yeah, that's the trivia for the movie. Would you like me to read some user reviews here, Matt?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Hold on a second. Okay.
Good.
Here we go with a 1-star review. The headline is "Ack!" exclamation point by Gore Ripper. And this was written on August 27th of 2000. Poor old Raul Julia would be spinning in his grave like a rotisserie chicken if he could see what had become of the Addams Family series. Along with the Super Mario Brothers, this would undoubtedly be one of the most appalling major studio films ever to appear. Made for video or not, there's no excuse to make movies which suck so utterly. It's painful to watch them all the way through. When my former housemate borrowed this one evening, I watched it like a rubbernecker gawks at a road accident. An adequate cast struggles desperately with an idiotic script, playing characters made familiar by other people far more convincingly. Nicole Fougere couldn't begin to come close to Christina Ricci's Wednesday if she lived to be a million. Only Tim Curry has any sparkle, but he could ham up the phone book and make it work. Turkey with a capital T. Okay. Here's another 1-star review. Poor attempt at a sequel, and this is from Ken109 from November 5th of 1998. The first two Addams films... what was that? The first two Addams Family films were true...
That was just my phone making a buzzing sound.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought maybe the phone was rejecting my reading.
No.
Oh, okay. The first two Addams Family films were true to the original Addams Family comics. This film bears no relation to the original in spirit or concept. It's pathetic. It's a pathetic attempt to cash in on an established and recognized name. Silly slapstick. Okay. All right, here's another 1 out of 10 star. This one's written by Wraith on May 27th of 2001. The headline is "Kill Yourself Now." this movie has basically nothing to recommend in it. The writers bear the heaviest burden for this dog. I'm generally a fan of Tim Curry, Daryl Hannah, and both the movie and TV original Addams Family shows. This movie was an embarrassment to anything related to the Addams Family. Tim Curry appears to have been pressed into a bad Raul Julia impersonation rather than allowed to find his own style. Daryl Hannah and the rest just don't seem to have been given anything to work with, and neither have you, the viewer. This movie reeks. But if you're reading this, you've probably already found that out to your sorrow.
Yep.
I'm looking for a good review. And guess what, Matt?
What?
I'm not finding many or any.
You didn't even find like a 10 out of 10 Which there's always someone that just thinks the movie is like the best movie of all time. Like
the highest I found so far is a 4.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, here's a 6.
Okay, now we're cooking. Okay, with here gas.
We go. Yes, we are. Or with kerosene. I don't know which is better to cook with. Anyways, here's a 6 out of 10. The headline is not as bad as all that. I don't know if they're talking about it not being as bad as the TV series All That, but I'm not really sure. But okay, anyways, this is from P Person.
Okay.
That's P-P-E-R-S-O-N. So I'm just gonna call them P Person. The worst superhero ever. Tune in weekly for the adventures of P Person. Putting out fires with his pee. Anyways, okay. All right. Not as bad as all that. I have to admit that I was dubious when I bought it and found it much more like the TV show than the theatrical films in mood. Uncle, which I'm going to point out they spelled wrong. They call him Uncle Fenster instead of Fester. In particular, appeared much more someone to laugh at. As I watched it, I found this Morticia nowhere near as good as Angelica Houston's The Children of Fine. Fenster, not serious enough. But when Gomez stepped out onto the tennis court, he was Gomez. Tim Curry had a very hard act to follow, Raul Julius Gomez, but he did it very well indeed. And Fenster turned out to be fine as well. Once I got used to his new persona. Still, it is clearly aimed at children, and clearly not a sequel to the other two. No pubert, no dementia. And it has that indefinable miasma of direct-to-video production. Hence, the not-so-high rating. They use the word miasma in their review, and they still got the name of one of the main characters wrong. Just want to point out, they use the word miasma. How many times in your life have you used the word miasma? And you weren't talking about the fact that you had asthma.
Me asthma. Wow.
Okay. So, let me see if I can find any more beautiful reviews. Yeah, I'm trying to find any good ones here, Matt. Here's one. Not bad, not great. This is from Mike359, and just wanted to let you know that's not me. This was from October 12th of 1998. I'm a huge fan of the first two Addams films, and I was really looking forward to this film. However, I had a mixed reaction. Tim Curry was fine in the role of Gomez, but he was no Raul Julia. I also liked Daryl Hannah as Morticia. What a babe. Smiley face. However, Uncle Fester's character was annoying, and so was Granny's. I liked the girl who played Wednesday, and Lurch wasn't bad. I think the main problem with it is that if you have seen one of the previous two films, you can't help thinking how great they were and how much better the previous cast was. All in all, a decent rental, but it should not have been made. Okay.
It's true.
Anyways, oh, wow. Ooh, 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 ooh. I found a 9 out of 10.
Oh, boy.
It's
Let's
a
do it.
It's a Great Ride, written by Mitch Newfield on May 8th of 2001. I was nervous when I picked this one up. A direct-to-video Addams Family, question mark. But I was very surprised. Sure, the budget was small. Sure, the digital effects weren't perfect. Sure, a few performances were weak. Some of the kid actors were so wooden they must have cast them in a lumber yard. Ha ha ha. But I was almost immediately won over. There was a certain spirit and charm to the style. The filmmakers would stop at nothing to try for a laugh or a thrill. They chose a course with style and went with it, holding nothing back. If you're not all hung up on the bigger budget Addams movies, I recommend this one. It's a Great Ride.
Is it?
I mean, it's like, you know those old-timey cars you can drive at some amusement parks like Cedar Point?
Yes. Yeah.
It's like that compared to, like the Magnum at Cedar Point or the Hulk at mm-hmm. Universal Studios or some, you know, like, actual roller coaster.
It's like the... Yeah, it's like the like the roller coaster that, like, you don't, for people who don't like roller coasters, like, oh, I gotta just go in this little car thing and just kind of, you know, it's kind of like a carousel almost, but maybe a little bit more, you know.
So it's like the Addams Family movie for people that don't like Addams Family movies.
Yeah, but this person likes it, so I don't know. And
it's yep. a great ride, man. It's a great ride.
Yep, sure is. Lots of backflips ride.
Oh, yeah. One day, we're going to create a Tim Curry Addams Family ride for, like, Cedar Point or Universal Studios or something, and it's going to be just backflips.
Just backflips, or we can purchase the land where Geauga Lake used to be and just recreate Geauga Lake. That's an Ohio reference right there. So yes. Nobody outside of Ohio probably will understand.
We could create our Addams Family amusement park.
Yeah.
You can get electrocuted. Actually, it'll just be the Addams Family reunion amusement yeah. park. We're going to have no references to the comic strips, no references to the 60s TV show or the Raul Julia movies. Just to this movie.
This one, yep.
It's a very niche amusement park.
Yep.
There's a ride where you turn into a dog and you get to eat hair.
And you have to eat the hair, though, in order yeah. to get the... So you have to choke it down, drink a lot of water or soda with it, and also, too, for the...
That'll be our refreshments at the refreshment stand.
Yeah,
that'll be,
refreshment that'll be stand, and also maybe a Rax restaurant. You know, because I'm obsessed with Rax lately for some reason. Like, I've been reading the whole history of Rax.
Oh, okay.
For some reason,
so we'll just put one of them in there.
Yeah, so we'll put a Rax.
After the pandemic, Matt, we should go to a Rax restaurant.
Well. I promised my niece we would do a road trip eventually to drive all the way to Lancaster, Ohio, which is a 3-hour drive one way from Sylvania.
Nice.
And there's two others. There's one in Ironside, but I don't feel comfortable going to a town called Ironside. It sounds like really rough town. So, like, I don't want to, like, get the shit kicked out of me by a bunch of, like, Trump supporters or something like that, because that's what it sounds like. Ironside, Ohio. This what it sounds like. Like, you know, it doesn't sound like a nice, you know.
No, it sounds like town. The hometown of Michael Ironside. And, but yeah. I'm really hoping that we have our Rax restaurant in our nice little backflip roller coaster. And, it'll just be called the backflip. The Gomez, okay. The Gomez black backflip. And
all it is just it like just puts you like in a bungee thing, just forces you to do backflips for like 10 minutes.
And I will tell you, I think they missed something in this movie. Okay, so you have this character, Cousin It, you know? Mm-hmm. Who is just hair.
Yeah.
Why didn't the dog eat him?
Well, I think at one point he did try to, didn't he?
Oh, okay, yeah. But they should have fed Cousin It to the dog. I mean, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then they wouldn't have Cousin It anymore, so then, you know.
Is he really integral to the plot?
Well, they're okay with killing the mail carrier.
Yeah.
Which they didn't kill because I guess he came back to deliver the mail. But then we forgot all about the people that got stuck at the mansion. Those people, because there was a few scenes of them trying to escape.
Oh yeah,
the mansion.
They were like a couple annoying yuppies, and
that's all they were. Yeah. They were just a bunch of these pieces of shit people. But And then, you know, grandma or granny, whatever her name is, Adams was like pretending to like them, but taunting them at the same time, like playing cards with them and stuff like that. And they had a little thing like break this for fleeing guests or something like that. Like a hammer. Oh, that's right, too. Because she breaks open the door and goes, "Here's granny." Oh, God, I hated that scene so much. I was like, I wanted to throw my phone like when I saw that.
Yeah, but you don't want to do that to your phone.
No, but I wanted to though, because that was terrible. And then they went to an escape thing, but then once they got there, then the rest of the thing was revealed and it was escaping into the swamp area of the property, I guess.
Yeah.
You gotta talk about how they make their money, because that's a really interesting question. They got all this land, and the house is pretty big. I mean, it's like a big house, like a castle almost. Like,
what is Gomez's job?
What does he do? Because he was able to just drop $5,000 like it was nothing. Again, 1998 money here. That's like, you know, that's like $10,000 or $15,000 now, just like that, like no problems. Like not even a second thought, like, oh, maybe we should save this or invest it. Like, nope, straight up, here's the check. Send me the mail of my, you know, my relatives or whatever.
Oh, okay, here we go.
Okay.
It's not mentioned in this movie, but I looked it up. I was like, I just did a Google search. What's Gomez Adams' job? Mm-hmm. He's an attorney.
What? Come on. Wow, they're always at home all the time. Does he work from home? Is this pre-COVID and he was already working from home? Like, what?
Yeah, he studied law and was voted most likely to never pass the bar. It is noted that Gomez has never won a case. He has never lost one either.
What?
So I guess he's never practiced? Although he rarely practices, he boasts having put many criminals behind bars while acting as their defense attorney.
Okay, I guess that's supposed to be funny, but it still does not explain the money, you know, issue of like, you know, how do you own all this property, which is a lot of land. House is big, got like 18 people living in the house, all extended family. You got a hand that obviously needs some kind of nutrition. I don't know what, like maybe soap or something. I don't know, but
okay. So this is another thing. It looks like they got rich from like real estate.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, like they bought some. According to this, they bought some. Oh, and they also bought some other things. Like they. One example, he is given a swamp that he bought for science value, and it turned out to have massive oil deposits.
Yep.
Another is a mummified hand he bought at a flea market that turned out to be from an Egyptian pharaoh. According to a Forbes article, the guest net worth of the Adams family is $2 billion.
Jesus Christ. So there you go. Isn't everyone's dream to buy a mummified hand that's worth, you know, lots of money in oil reserve? I mean, so you don't have to work anymore. You can just be weird all the time.
All the mummified hands I've bought have turned out to be duds. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got close once with like a Romanian hand.
Yeah.
That possibly, you know, was like the hand of like a really, really, you know, powerful sorcerer. It was just a run of your will warlock. It wasn't, you know, that, you know, more of like an apprentice warlock. So
yeah,
it wasn't really that big of a deal. So, you know,
see, I bought one that I thought was the hand of John Adams, the John Quincy Adams. I'm actually,
yeah.
And, yeah. It turned out that it was a guy named John Quincy Adams with two D's. No relation. So yeah, I just have this fun. Random, you know, mummified hand sitting, you know, on my entertainment center. It's just, you know, it's great.
It's unfortunate, yeah.
So, anything else before we go here, Matt?
No, just the same old shit every.
Would you say? Would you recommend this movie to anyone?
like. I don't know. Like, if you want to make fun, I don't. It's hard. I mean, like, the only reason why I'm able to make fun of it so badly is just because my overall mood right now. I can't really. I don't know. Probably not. I don't know. I watch it literally on my phone. Like that. That's the seriousness that I brought to this project. I didn't go to my TV to go to YouTube on there. I literally just went on YouTube on my phone and just watched it. Without headphones either, just the phone speakers.
Yeah. That is the best way to watch any movie.
Yeah.
IMAX, Schmimax, you know. Anyways, so I would not recommend this movie to anyone at all. But if you are curious about it, it's free on YouTube. Just look it up.
Yep.
Yep. Just type in Adam's
VHS copy.
Just type in Adam's Family Reunion, and it comes right up. Yep. It's one of the top results.
Well, one of the only results, but
yeah. But I warn you, if you're going to watch it, you're going to have an amazing time. Forgetting amazing time, you know, wondering why you wasted an hour and a half of your life. And
the movie was almost 90, it was 87 minutes long, this whole movie.
Yes. It felt like 5 hours.
It did, yeah.
So until next time, folks, just remember that the worst superhero name ever is Pea Person.
The worst ability ever. He just pees. He can pee really far. So that's all he can do.
All right. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.